The Supreme Court hears arguments today in a case testing the constitutionality of a federal law aimed at limiting children's access to sexually explicit material online. The law, known as the Child Online Protection Act, or COPPA, is 3 years old. It came into being after an earlier attempt to regulate internet pornography was considered unconstitutional. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
In 1997, the Supreme Court struck down the Communications Decency Act because the justices said it outlawed material that might be inappropriate for children but was perfectly acceptable for adults. And what the court has said repeatedly is that the government may not reduce adult speech to the level of a sandbox in the name of protecting children. When Congress went back to the drawing board, it tried to meet the court's many objections to the Communications Decency Act. Instead of making it a crime to put patently indecent material online, it made it a crime to put online material that is, quote, harmful to children. It limited the law's reach to websites for commercial purposes, and it allowed adults providing a credit card number to gain access. Janet LaRue of the Conservative Family Research Council helped draft the law and compares its adult identification provisions to state laws on the display of nudie magazines.
It's very reasonable. We call it an electronic brown wrapper.
Once enacted, though, the law was blocked by a federal appeals court acting in a lawsuit brought by the American Civil Liberties Union. Today in the Supreme Court, ACLU lawyers will tell the justices that while the law may sound reasonable, it is not, because the nature of web communication is that it is free and anonymous. Ann Beeson is the ACLU's lead attorney.
The record in this case actually showed that 75% of the people on the web will refuse to register in any way for online content. That's the nature of the web, and it would very much alter that medium to require that adults provide personal information, such as a credit card, just to gain access to speech they have a constitutional right to receive.
Besides which, getting verification of age can be expensive, setting up a dilemma for purveyors. Do they spend the money for an age verification system that users will refuse, or will they just self-censor? The answer from the plaintiffs who brought this case is that they will self-censor rather than face possible prosecution and jail time. Those plaintiffs are an interesting lot, ranging from mainstream magazines and newspapers with websites to safe sex information websites. The Family Research Council's LaRue contends they have nothing to worry about because the statute defines material harmful to minors as material lacking in artistic, political, or scientific value.
It's amazing to me that some of the plaintiffs in the COPPA case are there at all, because their lawyers ought to be advising them that no, you make available material that has serious value to it. Even if it's sexually explicit, it still has value.
But what's valuable in the eye of one beholder may not be in the eye of another, says the ACLU. And the prospect of criminal prosecution, even potential jail time, if you guess wrong, is daunting. The question the ACLU and their clients ask is just what is harmful to minors, not to mention what has artistic, literary, or scientific value. Mitchell Tepper of the Sexual Health Network, for example, runs his website out of his home to provide easy access to information about sexuality for people with disabilities.
I've shown films in staff educations at rehab hospitals where people, a minority, were offended by films I showed. There's really no clear line across this country on where education begins or ends.
And the ACLU's Beeson notes that despite assurances to the contrary, her clients are in legal jeopardy.
The government itself has now conceded that it could prosecute ArtNet.com, which is one of our clients and one of the leading fine art vendors on the web, because it made available Andre Serrano photographs, because the photographs are sexually explicit, and even though not obscene by adult standards, would be thought by most communities to be harmful to minors.
Indeed, the legal basis for the lower courts blocking the statute was that the law instructs judges and juries to use contemporary community standards in deciding whether material is harmful to minors. The lower court said that provision, in essence, gives a heckler's veto to the most conservative communities. But Janet LaRue says simply that's not going to happen.
We're not going to allow Boise, Idaho to determine what's acceptable in New York City. It's going to be an average adult American, because we think there would be agreement among average Americans as to what material is suitable for minors.
That assertion is belied by recent history. According to a brief filed by the Association of American Publishers, the Newspaper Association of America, and other groups, the brief notes that in this year alone, an Oklahoma high school yanked the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel To Kill a Mockingbird from its reading list, and a Florida school board proposed to eliminate from its curriculum because of profanity such literary classics as The Adventures of Huck Finn, Macbeth, Romeo and Juliet, Gone with the Wind, and Catcher in the Rye. That is why the Supreme Court has consistently required government to use the least restrictive means of limiting speech when government has a compelling need to limit speech at all, such as for the protection of children. And says the ACLU blocking technology is a far less restrictive and more effective way to limit children's access to inappropriate materials. Janet LaRue disagrees.
If we just say, well, it's all up to parents, then what we're saying is the government can do nothing.
After all, she notes, kids can go to libraries or friends' homes or other places where there's no blocking device on a computer. And to say that the government has no role to play in protecting children outside the home, she says, is ludicrous.
To say that the entire burden rests with parents is like saying, parents, if you want your children protected from drugs, then you have to go with them everywhere they go, and that's unreasonable.
Indeed, the Bush administration, in its brief defending the law, contends that at most the statute imposes a modest burden on adult access to pornographic material, and that modest burden is outweighed by the government's compelling interest in shielding minors from material that is harmful to them. The ACLU's Ann Beeson responds this way.
That, in our opinion, is akin to saying that, you know, a law that was passed that required all books on the library shelves to be burned is somehow fixed if you amend the law to require only the burning of half the books in the library.
A decision in the case is expected sometime this spring. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.